as you gaze within the head without blinking. Allow them to appear within your head on the screen of your consciousness. And as they appear, whoever appears, just feel the love and the thanks going out to them for your enlightenment and your unfoldment. If you see anyone inside, be thankful. But if you don't see any, and you hear the music inside, then you and the music are one. That's the creative word, the audible life stream. It has become you. And that is what Jesus meant for the glory of God, and greater things shall you do. Hearing the music and knowing it has become you. It's a music only you can hear, and it's an image of a master or a loved one only you can see, and that is your evidence that the creative principle is in communion with you. You and it are one and the same. As Jesus said, I and the Father are one. You see me, you see the Father. Either the face of a loved master or holy one, or the music. Only you can hear it. Enjoy it. Feel your whole body flooded with it. Thank you. Question.
Could you talk to us about realization? What it means? What it is we're looking for when we're getting that enlightenment and realization?
Most of us in the early stages of our understanding is trying to get to a state where you think you know and you'll never be ignorant no more. This craving is what the Eastern people call your delusion. And you will continue to feed the fire of the craving to be deluded that you will arrive at some preposterous, unimaginable place in your awareness, thinking you know all there is to know. When in actuality, realization is the acceptance that God became you. According to Paul, after many years of his own internal searching, and after many unusual experiences of the unimaginable control over the environment by his thoughts, he discovered how deluded he was. He made this remark: I rebuke you in your rejoicing, for I live and die daily in the Lord. Hence, he left the room and went to work to be a tent maker. And live for the moment of now by being very practical every moment. Even when he died, by giving up his life for his fellow man, He demonstrated the fruit of the Spirit instead of the gift of the Spirit. The gift of the Spirit is the miraculous powers and the tremendous desire to think you know. And the fruit of the Spirit is the understanding that God became you, and you cannot become Him. And therefore, every moment of the now, you are God in motion. You are not a God. You'll never become a God. But you'll be totally satisfied that God became you. Because you'll understand why it is written, "Come, let us make man in our own image and likeness. Male and female created them." But it's not "come, let me make man." "Come, let us make man." That is sonics and optics united to make a manifestation with a polaristic process locked up in it. And every moment you accept that realization, you will discover one fact about yourself. You can only live what you say to yourself. You cannot do nothing else. It is like saying you would like to build a beautiful bathtub, but you can't take a bath in a blueprint bathtub. And you don't know if it's going to leak until you build it. And therefore, realization is not thinking to become. It's not a blueprint. It is an experiment with yourself. And free men all, Lord of yourself. Therefore, all I can see here is reproductions of self. That's why Jesus said, the highest commandment is, love the Lord. And love doesn't have anything to do with analysis. With all of your mind, not part of your mind. So it doesn't have anything to do with geometry. And with all of your heart, that is feeling, you all skin from toe to head. Therefore, heart must pump blood out through. And the life is in the heart and in the blood. And with all your strength, you don't have no strength if you don't breathe. The day they cut the cord and separate you from mama and you didn't breathe, you know what they'll do you. Even though you were the winner of the sperm that got to the ovum, and they cut that cord, there's a doctor doing it, and you don't breathe, you take that object and put it in the ground. You don't have a single thing. It's like somebody unplugging the, see? And if she doesn't pay the electricity bill, she ain't got nothing coming in there. That's facts. Strength. All of your strength. And with all of your soul. Well, you don't have a soul. Try as you like, your body can't save your soul. It's preposterous to believe Your body's going to have a soul to save. You are soul. But greater than that, you are living soil. Because there are 144 elements. This marvelous temple is made up of 144 elements. And everything around you is the same. That's where it's like neighbor next to, as yourself. As yourself. Not like, see, as yourself. So therefore, you are unified. You and I are one. Your carbon dioxide is my oxygen, and my carbon dioxide is your oxygen, like it or not. We're stuck with each other. Hence, we can't have anything more than love. The anguish and the frustration and the possessiveness, the jealousy and all these things is only for the craving to insulate. There's no other real reason for it. But once you let go of the feeling to insulate, then the rapport begins. The unification begins. The intensity begins. Then you feel it. Like a tingling sensation. The more conscious you are of the tingling sensation, the more you begin to see the whole spirit. That's what they call Holy Spirit now. That's what they call Kundalini, coiled up, locked in, starting to release itself. And your body quiver and you shake and rattle and roll. And therefore they call you slain in the spirit of Pentecostal or Shakers or anyone a label they want to give you. You are exalting or unfolding in the energy field. Scientists call it biokinesis. This is the modern terminology, and the ancient terminology is whole spirit, whole flow. But it is conscious recognition of it. Each one has to experience it. Each one has to recognize it. What is unique about it, though it can perform the impossible, is already organized to do the simple in the most impossible way. That's what's so funny about it. If you look for the simple in the moment to moment, it will always be miraculous. If you keep looking for the miraculous, it may only occur once before you pass out of the body. But if you look for the simple, it may occur 10, 15 times in a whole day. So you have more opportunities of discovering the miraculous in the simple than the one miraculous in a lifetime. So, when Jesus referred to it, he merely put it in a simple way by saying, seek ye first the kingdom of God and its righteousness, which is within you, not outside. A kingdom is a enclosure, container, boundary line. And its righteousness would mean right operation. But where? Within you. which automatically tells you you can't look for it outside. It is an internal structural experience of how you are put together as a structure. And it will free you. The understanding of it will free you from what? The delusion that you will be God. The delusion that you will control the environment with your thinking. But at the same time, you become free men all, Lord of the Souls. In today's technical terminology, the understanding is much more specific. As you close your eyes, you become conscious of your own subatomic particles that make up your physical structure as a mass, and the interplay of the optics in geometry and the resonance by the pulsation of the contraction and dilation by respiration. You are a humming machinery with the most fantastic music going on. And if you just watch the show and don't try to dictate, you may reap the cash box, which is peace that passes all understanding. And not 6 feet under the ground, but the strength of peace, the ability to live moment to moment without fear. This kind of a cash box, everyone is looking for.
Yeah. Would you talk to us about Dalton, about going into Dalton, and how the steps at some point?
In the structure of your nature, you have rates of acceleration of your brain. And so modern physics is zeroing in on brain acceleration, representing states of consciousness. Soon modern physics will identify that oxygen is the only gas that produces the phenomena called consciousness. No other gas does it. And when the eyes are open, at the first pressurization of the oxygen to indicate you are respirating, that measurement or rapid eye movement is referred to as the beta range, or geometrical reference, photographic focusing. So the eyes are like a camera. It photographs. But if the lens are constantly flipping around, it's going to be out of focus and get a lousy picture. So you have to slow down the lens. And that's the next level they call alpha, where you become more geometrically specific and not hazy. At that level, selectivity synchronizes to desire or wish or purpose is very exact. You can't wish for something and expect it not to happen. There's where you see a man is good as his word, put up or shut up. At the alpha level, you will be forced to live your thoughts otherwise it'll slam back in your face. And in the Eastern terminology, your karma caught up with you. At alpha level, you learn that fast. You can't state a statement or make a statement and not experience it. Then as the brain goes to the next level, which is theta, the geometry plays with unfinished actions. We never can finish all our actions. There's always a little left over. Simply because we are an organism that must live for tomorrow. If you go to bed tonight, you're going to tell yourself you're going to wake up to go to work tomorrow. And so you're forced to wake up to go to work tomorrow. And if you don't wake up, you're going to wake up to go to work 50 years from now tomorrow in another body. Even when they bury the one that went to bed last night and you don't wake up tomorrow, because the thought is already preset to go to work or do something tomorrow. At theta level, you already set up what you call futuristic confrontation. This is the basis of attachment now and the cause of all suffering. At the theta level, you already did what to yourself? Made yourself a scapegoat to your anxiety and your attachments. There we call the dream state. Years ago, I lived in America, South America, and I would dream of going to America, the American dream. And then woke up one morning in America. It's the unfinished dreams, theta level. But it is necessary to motivate you. It's not something bad, it's to understand it. That the dream has to be set up like a computer, you have to program it to get replayed. So theta level is the reservoir of the unfinished dreams in terms of geometry. Then last but not least, the dreamless state. That is where all geometry disappears in your head and it's blank. And no one associates blank with peace. But if you ask somebody what geometrical shape peace has, you end up telling me, blank. Well, naturally it's blank. And that's delta. Now you have peace that passes all understanding. Meaning no more verbalization or analysis to describe it to yourself. But that blank is not an end. That's the funny phenomenon. An end would generate geometry. That blank or peace is a competency or strength. And this is what Jesus said, the peace I give, the world don't give. And no one ever asked what kind of peace it was. But those who have passed through the process, from geometry to non-geometry and feel it in the tissues, they know without doubt that it is a biodynamic resonance that doesn't have geometry, but has a sense of vibrancy. You pick up your body and walk. So they say the highest yoga in this world is this posture. God is for the living, not for the dead. You begin to have understanding, something that you can really enjoy. And I don't know if you saw the picture called Cocoon. Good. In that picture you saw fixated individuals and liberated individuals. The fixated one is the couple, but more so the man than the woman. Even when he realized she had died, he still go try to throw water on her to make her live. And even after he buried her, he still wouldn't accept liberation to the blank state. He held on to geometry, this plane of association, and the others all let go of the geometry for the what? The encounter. And those who told them where they were going, they didn't promise them some fixated geometry of eternity that don't go broke. It's a matter of accepting the Christ nature within the structure. Yes. Not a person on the throne. If it was a person on the throne, then he would have said, the things I do, you shall do also, but not greater than me. So it is not a person, it's a principle, giving you the right to exercise it within yourself for your own need. But until you understand it or recognize it, you will not be able to exercise it. So as you recognize it, then you can exercise it. It has nothing to do with ego. It has to do with your right to be a being. In other words, it is the Father's last will and testament left to you as his creation. You know when he left a will and testament, what is it? You are either the recipient or not. Isn't the allocation made out before you receive it? Think of it. You can't leave a last will and testament to a group of people unless you allocate it to them. You have to allocate it to them first. Logic. But they're entitled to by division. So the last will and testament, or his will be done, and his will be done is, you have dominion over the universe, but no franchises. Therefore, one spiritual brother of mine, he sings the 24 glories of God's gifts to mankind. And one of the gifts of God, he says, is, you are a son of God. Everyone is a son or creative principle. So that realization gives you the right to exercise the power over your limitations and fixations.
Yes. do you think now would be a good time to take a break and let people have some tea? And then, any questions?
Adela, when the apples decompose the different ways, can you go over again the different ways in the vineyard?
Yes. The first one has a moldy condition and it's powdery. That is the eliminative principle. So creative energy flowing through me will eliminate all those conditions that interfere with the normal and harmonious flow of the individual. So the powdery condition is an eliminating principle. If it retains a little fluid, even after all that drink and it shriveled up, it still has a little fluid in it. That's the dissolving principle. So creative principle energy flowing through me will dissolve all those conditions. So that's the frequency to which you are locked into your own delta level. So everybody's got his own frequency to lock into. It's not a hit and miss process. That's why the sperm didn't get to the ovum by hit and miss. It got there by a locking in numerical value. This is ovum 239, calling sperm 239, coming sperm 239. And wherever sperm 239 is in dad, it got there, and that's you. Because ovum 239 was the one mom gave off at that moment to make you together. So we have these laws working in a subtle way, but it takes us a while to recognize it. So you have the eliminative process, which is a powdery effect. You have the dissolving, which is a watery effect. And if it's dried up hard, no powder, no water, and just like a formidable rock, that's the strengthening effect. That's what you call divine energy flowing through me, or creative energy flowing, will strengthen. Then, if it remains firm for a whole year, and it doesn't collapse, it doesn't shrink, turn powder or watery, that's the rebuilder. The creative energy flowing through me will rebuild. So once you recognize that particular function, that's the frequency you work with. So you're not utilizing a frequency that you are not geared or locked into. So when you recognize your own frequency, you are focusing upon an individual to help them, and you're not choosing frequencies that don't match your own. So from the results of the apple at the time of the initiation that locks you in, that process is set up for you to recognize. So if you observe that the apple stayed for a whole year before it break down and remained firm, you are working on the rebuilding principle. So if you're going to help someone, you don't go and say to them, your problems will be eliminated or be dissolved, or things that are necessary for you to get well are going to be strengthened. It's not going to work. But if you tell them that the creative energy flowing through you will rebuild all the things that are necessary for them to gain their strength and help to function, it will begin to work. It is locking in because it's lining itself up. And it's obeying the same law of communication. You can't get station 18 on station 19. It ain't going to work. The transmitter has to throw off a wavelength, and the receiver's got to pick up, and they have to synchronize. It's the same principle with energy, all energy fields. So the four wave bands are the four rates of the brain. Beta, alpha, theta, delta. The beta range is the eliminative effect of the powder. The alpha range is a dissolving effect. The theta range is a strengthening effect. And the delta is a rebuilding effect. And there's one more, which occurs after that. It's called the omega range. And that's the one where the apple don't break down and it grows an extra half inch and it gets more odorous. You know, that's the fully realized person or avatar, descent of God into flesh. So we know that that person is there already in that state. He just has to exercise it. But the other four are within the brain ratio, and you know what you're working with.
Do you mind just that? I just want to get the frequencies with the
beta range is the powdery effect or eliminative effect.
Okay.
The alpha range is the dissolving effect. The theta range is the strengthening effect. And the delta range is the rebuilding effect. Omega occurs at death, which gives you resurrection. You have to pass through the death test to have the omega range. So it's all great men who've gone through, and they were conveying this knowledge in an agrarian or agricultural language. And now that we are plumbing into the subatomic particles of our nature by equipment known as x-rays and microscopes and telescopes, which only represent convex vision or prophetic vision or clairvoyant, that's the problem with that type of vision is one out of every million, whereas you can always buy a million microscopes and everybody look through them. But you're going to get the same result when you look inside. Ain't no different. The law is the same law. That's why the word is not as above, so below. As on the invisible, so it is indivisible. That knocks out all guilt and shame and frustration for the first time and gets you to look at yourself better. That you have locked up in you the capacity to focus the lens of the eye to see at and see through. When you see through, you are looking at the subatomic particles of the structure. When you see at, then you know you're a dumb cuff so far. But don't limit yourself. Give yourself a little more time, you'll see through. And it all has to do with focusing. There are a lot of new techniques being evolved which have come down through the years because the secrecy or the so-called lid of privacy is being lifted by those who have passed through it, knowing now that man is ready to accept himself without fear, and therefore we can talk to them more openly to apply it. Years ago we weren't too certain if you can handle it or you may freak out. But the techniques are getting more and more. You're doing it anyhow. It's called altered states. Some of us do it by ignorance with an object in the mouth and it's called a drug. Others bump their head by falling off the bed.
Is there a particular type of practice in meditation or in yoga or whatever that would best suit itself to the different states of the apple?
Meditation is a biological two-way communication between the external geometry of the eyes and the internal geometry of the eyes. But it has come down throughout the centuries as some holier-than-thou approach. In today's language, we don't need that anymore to condition us to practice it. And you can practice meditation till you're blue in the face, you'll never be meditating. It's like having this radio and never turning it on. The tape is in it, but until you turn it on and sit back and listen, the information is not going to be heard off the tape. The program is already passing through the cells in the four different speeds of the brain. Your job and my job is to sit down, like Yogananda said, and enjoy the show and don't try to dictate and analyze it. You're not the producer and you're not the director, you're the audience. That's why they say man must appreciate those ancient terms that he's a witness. And that's how the word Jehovah Witness came about. But then it can get carried away in all kinds of distorted meanings, and when in the actual living of it is, close the eyes and watch. Then the levels will start unfolding, and you'll see the different actions occurring. You'll see the powdery effect or eliminative effect occurring at beta. Because at beta range, everything turns to what? You open your eyes. Dust you came, to dust return it. You know everything else is going to be more there. Or you close your eyes, they should get watery. The next level, that's alpha. And when you start dreaming in your bed, thinking that Dracula is biting you. You went to the movie, you know. Meantime, Dracula is only biting the actress on the stage. But the audience is cringing all over the place in the theater. They pay their money to cringe. That's the that's the fear of strengthening up and tightening up of the constriction. And that's the theta range. And then when you sit back and enjoy the movie to your full extent, and you come out happy about it, that is the rebuilding effect. It was worthwhile going to be entertained. That's delta. Then if you decide you want to start your own movie, that's omega. See? But it's just the different speeds of the brain. And then you're actually living with it. For the first time, you don't have a feeling of guilt or fear or frustration or making up for mistakes. You have to use that to encourage a person in a juvenile state of mind. It's the old-fashioned technique of getting them to learn by telling them not to do. So they'll rebel and do it. But when you get to be an adult and understand it is not necessary anymore, the greatest joy is to what? Turn on and enjoy the movie instead, let the thing automatic. You see?
The problem being is, in my reality, the way I look at it is, I want to be able to ascend to that place where I can do that. Okay? All too often, there is so much activity going on all around, inside, but just to get it calmed down is a full-time job. I don't, as of yet, have that kind of mastery to be able to ascend into that space where I can just sit down and enjoy it. For the most part, it takes a little more discipline for me than it does for others. And what I'm looking at is how I can best get to that place where I can just relax and not have to worry about all this stuff.
Let me explain. A dead man doesn't have any brainwave confrontation. He's there in a state of blank, permanent. That's a dead man. A living man or woman has oscillation between right brain and left brain, geometry and sonics. Thank God. It's there. It could be worse. It could be absent. The purpose of going through it is the journey of watching, not to analyze. You ain't getting any place. There's no place to go to. That's the illusion that you're trying to go there to control it. You're never going to get any place to control it. All you're going to learn is that you have to watch and listen and let the whole thing fall into its own categories and reveal its mechanics to you. And you learn by the observation of it that when it all lines up, the real anguish is if you think to say something, it won't happen. And then you will feel that you caused it. If you say something, it happens. Then you really freak out because you think you're doing it to somebody or doing it. And when in actuality, you have lined up the brain to the unified field, and the energy is obvious. The mass times the velocity of light squared, and every unit of expression in that unified field is integrated with the velocity. As an observer, you begin to realize you better don't try to think or say anymore. Then you become a truly wise man. You keep your... You get the idea? And you enjoy living in the world in a simple, rational, humble way. Because that's where you're going to be very practical, moment to moment. And that's the evidence of your spirituality. The test of spirituality and the test of one who meditates, not one who practices, is their ability to be practical moment to moment. That's the test. And we recognize that person, that person is there. The next test is, how immune is he? That tells us how divine. Because if you want to classify his divinity, you only can classify his divinity by testing it in terms of immunity. Now, if the saint and the sinner, or the abstinent or the non-abstinent, both get the same disease, something is wrong in their practice. The immune level is the measuring stick of a balanced person. So the realized man, who is truly realized, isn't out promoting anything. He's busy living it, moment to moment, by being practical, which is spiritual, moment to moment by the immune ratio to cope with the conditions. And final but not least is enlightenment is measured by his ability to act on command. If someone asks you to do something, the responsive reaction to act is the liberation. And Jesus will put it this way, the least you have done unto one of these, you have done it unto me. And that is a liberated person. There's no other liberation to look for. There never was, but we build it up so much in our heads that we're going to be liberated and never realizing what we're really doing. Many people are highly liberated, highly spiritual, and are highly divine, but they think they're very mediocre. That's a funny phenomenon of the brain, because it's too simple. It's too obvious, and we want some grandiose expression of thinking we have arrived. And in actuality, it's like trying to perfect perfection. How can you perfect perfection? But if you accept yourself, living in the simplicity of the pen, you are there, because evidence would be how life revolves around you. And you're not panicking. The brain must have right and left brain interaction. It must have optical and sonic. The highest realized man has all these things going, but he closes his eyes and he enjoys the show.
Let's it come to him.
Now you understand? It is not practicing meditation, it's living meditation. But you gotta start someplace. So you start by sitting down and closing your eyes to watch. And you're given a technique to slow the brain down. That's the respiratory function or the repetition of some prayer. to help slow the brain down, or shifting gears so you observe. And what you're going to end up experiencing is this sonic resonance, an elation of your mechanism in terms of healthiness. You know without doubt when you come out of that state, you are vibrant and you can live more objectively. And anytime you close your eyes and you need an inspiration to go forward, it begins to crystallize in front of you. That's the evidence you have. In the most minute detail of your life, the timing will become obvious for you to act. It's not how smart you are. It's how soon you get through the gate of heaven before it closes. Do you understand what I'm saying? So it's timing. So somebody asked me one time, how you sum up enlightenment and all the meditative process? And this is the way I sum it up. Timing of the daily events in your life, regardless if you close your eyes or you don't do it, regardless if you think you're meditating or you're not meditating, this is what you can finally come to grips with. Timing of the daily events in your life is the evidence that a creative intelligence is directing your survival. And you are the supreme meditator by the recognition of it. You're not practicing meditation, you're living meditation. You have no doubt in your mind, you are living it, because incorrect timing in the daily events, you muck up. And you see it in mechanical objects, you see it in everything, in music and everything. All is geared to what? The moment of time, for it to be functional or impractical. So to sit down and say, you're going to practice meditation and never realize the result is to help you to recognize timing in order to act, then you will be practicing meditation all your life. But if you sit down to meditate, you will come to the understanding that whatever you will do when you open your eyes and get up to do would be synchronized to the time for it to be practical. So if you have any kind of a problem coming up, no matter what it is, you sit down and you want to synchronize when is the appropriate time to act. Then you get up and you calmly walk and do what you're doing and wait for the appropriate moment. Now, last night I was not here. But if I told you, Mars in lunar is that principle in nature that delays motion for people. And to fight Jupiter and fight Mars and all their functions in nature is like jumping the gun. So the wise man don't do that. He learns to function with the time. It may be aggravating to those who had to experience it, but at the same time, it could have been worse if you tried to jump the gun. Timing of the events yesterday was in relation to someone I expected to be here with me tonight. You all know her, she was here before. She's a nurse, Christina. She didn't make it. She's still back there in Mexico. But she was supposed to meet me in Santa Fe this weekend. And I realized, and I laughed when she didn't make it, because I knew Mars and Luna were really blocking off her from making the trip. Just as much as when I left this morning, we came here. The room I was supposed to be in is on the other side of the wall. See, the timing of the daily events in our lives is the comedy of the whole thing. So, and you close your eyes and you go in. You're not trying to be a holier-than-thou person, or you're not trying to have of vision down the tunnel of time or back to the future experiences, you're going to know everything. It's a whole practical, you could function in the time. Once you begin to focus that way, the moments of time will allow you to act. And that's what's why the teachers always tell us, sit down and meditate. Give yourself time. And we never realize that's what they're trying to make us happen. Is to be able to recognize the moment to act.
If anyone's going to come to Tokyo, you might teach